Our text for today, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 11 to 19. And if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will also make your mortal bodies alive through his spirit who is dwelling in you. So then, brothers, we do not owe it to the sinful flesh to live in harmony with it. For if you live in harmony with the sinful flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the actions of the body, you will live. Indeed, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery so that when you are afraid again, but when you receive the spirit of adoption by him who we call out, Abba Father, the Spirit himself joins our spirit in testifying that we are God's children. And now if we are children, then we are also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, since we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. In fact, creation is waiting with eager longing for the sons of God to be revealed. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Music can be such an interesting thing. It seems like the first song that we're playing on the playlist can be something that makes us get up and dance around and be happy. But then that very next song that comes on the playlist can be something so sad that it makes us want to break down and cry. People often listen to a kind of music that quote-unquote fits the mood. It seems like if you're angry, listening to an upbeat, punchy song can really help you get that anger out. And if you're in a happy mood, listening to a happy song can make you even more happy. Even here in church, we often listen to music that really fits the mood. Seems like during Lent, we listen to a lot of hymns that reflect Jesus' solemn sacrifice for us. During Christmas, we listen to hymns that help us celebrate the joy of our Savior's birth. A hymn that particularly fits the mood today is the hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say. Even in the first line of the hymn, it tells us we are God's children and we can be happy to call ourselves God's children. But is that really the case? I'm a child of God. A child of God. But I sin, I suffer, and then I die. That doesn't seem like something that a child of God does. But in spite of all of that, Paul points us to Christ, and he reminds us that we too can say, God's own child, I gladly say. The first stanza of the hymn is as follows. God's own child, I gladly say it. I am baptized into Christ. He, because I could not pay it, gave my full redemption price. Do I need earth's treasures many? I have one worth more than any. That brought me salvation free, lasting to eternity. Paul says in verse 11 of our text, and if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will also make your mortal bodies alive through his spirit who is dwelling in you. What beautiful words that Paul gives us here. These words relay a promise from God to us. If the spirit is living in us, that very same spirit that rose Christ from the dead on Easter Sunday will raise our own bodies to life on the last day. That's God's personal promise to you and to me. But what's the reality? I don't always feel the Spirit living inside my heart. I'm sure you don't either. And after all the bad things we've done, why would the Spirit want to live in us? That obvious question then arises, how do we know that the Spirit is living in us if we don't know it's there? Paul gives us reassurance in Colossians writing, you were buried with Christ in baptism, and in baptism you were also raised with him through the faith worked by God who raised Christ from the dead. Even when you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ by forgiving us all our trespasses. Through baptism, God created faith in our hearts. Our sin was nailed to the cross that Christ died on, and our sins and our death were buried in the tomb that Jesus was buried. And Jesus did not pack up these sins and bring them with him when he rose. He left those sins in the grave, and we too were raised with Christ on that third day. God made us alive with Christ and forgave all of our sins. And that same Spirit that brought Christ to life is the same Spirit that is living in our hearts right now. Just as the hymn says, "He, because I could not pay it, gave my full redemption price." Because of this treasure that is worth more than any, Paul tells us that we have to do something. He continues in the next verses saying, "So then, brothers, we do not owe it to the sinful flesh to live in harmony with it. For if you live in harmony with the sinful flesh, you are going to die." This is not just a suggestion, this is an absolute obligation. So much so that it's the difference between life and death. This obligation is to live by the desires of God and not by the desires of our own hearts. But that, brothers and sisters, is a lot easier said than done. How easy is it to think, "I'm God's child, but there's this one thing that I really like doing that I know I probably shouldn't. I'm God's child, but I really, really like the way that my life is going, the way I'm living it right now. I'm God's child, but I like watching that show that I know I shouldn't be watching. I am God's child, but there's that one particular sin that I don't really want to give up." Just shortly before these verses, Paul says in Romans 7, "Indeed, I know that good does not live in me, that is, in my sinful flesh. The desire to do good is present within me, but I am not able to carry it out." Without the Spirit living in us, we can't fulfill that obligation. In fact, we can't even make a single step in the right direction. Thankfully, verse 13 doesn't end there, as Paul continues, "But if by the Spirit you put to death the actions of the body, you will live." It is all because of the Holy Spirit's work that we can indeed put these sins to death. Verse 2 of the hymn says, "Sin disturb my soul no longer. I am baptized into Christ. I have comfort even stronger, Jesus' cleansing sacrifice. Should a guilty conscience seize me, since my baptism did release me, in a dear forgiving flood, sprinkling me with Jesus' blood." Because of our baptism into Christ, sin no longer hangs over us, and we are now free from guilt because of the blood of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. When talking about the waters of the flood of Noah, the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 3, "And corresponding to that, baptism saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the guarantee of a good conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." We are now at peace with God. Our conscience is clear, our sin is washed away. The Holy Spirit now gives us new life to serve him in the present day and in eternal life. Paul continues in verses 14 and 15, "Indeed, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery that you are afraid again, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we call out, Abba, Father. Through these words, we know that we are God's own children. Because of what the Spirit has done, we can call God our Father. We are now blessed by the Spirit. We are now blessed in our lives. We can live our lives in thankfulness to God. But when we live by the Spirit, we need to avoid doing these things that we really want to do in our hearts. And when we do these things that we really like to do, it seems like not doing them is slavery. In our minds, we can think, God, who are you to tell me what to do? I'm my own person. Who are you to tell me what I can and I can't do? Sin can have a death grip on our hearts and minds, making us think what I want is best. God, who are you to tell me what to do? Who God is our Father. The Spirit makes God our Father, just as verse 3 of God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, says, Satan, hear this proclamation, I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation, I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled, and against your tyranny, God, my Lord, unites with me. We are now united with the Father. The Spirit does not make us slaves. The Spirit breaks our chains. The Spirit sets us free from slavery. Paul says in verses 16 and 17, the Spirit himself joins our spirit in testifying that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, since we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Stanza 4 of the hymn goes, Death, you cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ. When I die, I leave all sadness to inherit paradise. Though I lie in dust and ashes, faith's assurance brightly flashes. Baptism has the strength divine to make life immortal mine. Christ suffered so much here on earth. He was hated by most of the people that he knew. He was betrayed by the closest people that he knew. And then he was put to death and nailed to a tree. He endured all of this willingly for us and for our salvation. As we read in the Gospels, Jesus cried at his good friend Lazarus' funeral. Jesus knows all about death. He cried at Lazarus' funeral, and on Good Friday, he himself was given into death. But as we know, that wasn't the end. Just as Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, Jesus was also risen on the third day. Jesus will also raise us to be with him in heaven. Paul says that the Holy Spirit himself testifies on our behalf in Galatians, saying, Indeed, as many of you were baptized into Christ, have been clothed with Christ. Clothed in Christ's forgiveness, we know that death is not the end. We will share in God's glory forever. Death, you cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ. When I die, I leave all sadness to inherit paradise. In the last verses of our reading, we are given tremendous words of encouragement from Paul. Paul writes, For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. In fact, creation is waiting with eager longing for the sons of God to be revealed. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. None of the sufferings that we go through here on earth compare to the glory that we will have in heaven. Sometimes that can be so difficult to comprehend. You may have lost a spouse. You may have had a disaster hit and lost all your possessions. You may have a strained relationship with your family. You may feel like you have no one at all that understands. But in the place that Christ prepared for you, all of that is taken away. Even if all seems lost during our earthly lives, we know that Jesus has fixed all of that for us. In the place that Christ prepared for you, all things are healed. Even if all seems lost during our earthly lives, we can anxiously await the afterlife when we die. The last stanza of the hymn reflects this very thought, saying, There is nothing worth comparing to this lifelong comfort sure. Open-eyed, my grave is staring. Even there, I'll sleep secure. Though my flesh awaits its raising, still my soul continues praising. I am baptized into Christ. I'm a child of paradise. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised to life with Christ. Through the faith given to us by the Holy Spirit, we are now members of God's own family. This faith was freely given by our loving God as he gave this life to us when we were dead in our own sins. He made slaves who were destined to die into his own children in his family. Our chains are now broken and we are free to live our lives in thankfulness. him God's own child, I gladly say it, echoes the beautiful words of Paul to Romans and to us today. How gladly we can say, I am God's own child. God is my own father, and he loves me very much. We are true sons of God. We are true sons and daughters of God's family. And even when we are feeling discouraged by hard times in this world, we can say with happy hearts, I am baptized into Christ. I am a child of paradise. That is who God created you to be. And that is who God will raise you to be forever. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.